talk about dancing. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to flee sexual immorality. That's our scriptural responsibility. Proverbs 7:24 says, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Talking here about immorality, an immoral woman. We need to think about the way we conduct ourselves, lest we do, as it says here, stray into the paths of sin. Proverbs 5:7 says, "Therefore, hear me now, my children, do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house." When it comes to sexual immorality, we need to stay away from it so far there's just no way that we're going to get involved in it. We don't want to go anywhere near sexual immorality. Matthew 5:27 says, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Now there's a relationship here, y'all. It says, you know, you've heard it said you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her heart. And so what do you need to control so you don't do 28? Well, you better control what you look at, right? Isn't that what verse 29 is saying? You ought to also be very careful what you touch. Isn't that what verse 30 is saying? I think it's clearly so. Now, in this lesson, am I going to be saying that all forms of dancing are wrong? No, I'm not going to be saying that. You know, when I was raised in the church, you know, nobody made the allowance for the possibility that there was some forms of dancing that were not provocative. I believe it's possible for... What is dancing? Dancing is just rhythmically moving your bodies to music. Can you do that in ways that don't provoke sexual responses in those who watch? I would say yes, because the Bible approves of some forms of dancing. I mean, you must be able to do it in a way that is righteous or the Bible wouldn't approve of it. But when you look at the kind of dancing that the Bible approves of, it's first of all an expression of joy. It's a mean of expressing praise to God. Specific instances of it occurred when Pharaoh, his army was destroyed in the Red Sea, when Jephthah destroyed the sons of Ammon, when David returned from killing Goliath, when David brought the ark into Jerusalem, and when the prodigal son returned. There's biblical dancing that meets with God's approval, but it's an expression of joy. It's a way of praising God. And it was done in the presence of members of the opposite sex, but it was not done with members of the opposite sex. Okay? Now, the kind of dancing that we're going to be talking about in this lesson is none of these things. Okay? I think one problem that young people have sometimes with us older folks is that we're not reasonable. And I think we've got to be reasonable. And I'm not saying in this lesson that every kind of dancing is necessarily sinful. Okay? But what I'm saying is that the kind of dancing that we're going to talk about in this lesson is. And see if you don't agree with me after we're done. What I want to talk about is school dances and dancing. Okay? Now, how did this come to be? I got thinking, you know, I don't know, I first did this lesson about 10 years ago or so, and I got thinking, you know, I've preached on dancing a lot, but maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I'm an old fogey that's just naive, utterly unconnected with reality. How can I, you know, and I didn't do a lot of this when I was a kid, so how do I know I'm being objective about it, you know? Basically, I was trying to figure out a way, how could I learn what's going on in a dance without actually being there and condoning what's going on? And so what I got doing, this was when the internet was, you know, just getting really good and started. On the internet, basically what you can do is you can go there and there was three sources of pictures of school dances. DJs that would actually do the music for dances, they would actually post pictures they would take at the dance. Sometimes schools would actually post pictures they post pictures that they took at their school dances, and sometimes kids would bring their cameras and post pictures of school dances. So that's where I've gotten these pictures from. Okay, all of these are pictures from school dances within the last 10 years of time. Okay, that's the way I went about doing this. Now, the difficulty in a lesson like this is I want to show you what's going on in these places, but I don't want to cause you to sin in a way that you would if you went to these places. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't want you to be naive about what's going on there, but you got to be really careful about what you show. And the very fact that you have to be incredibly careful about what you show about what goes on at school dances says you really shouldn't be going to school dances, okay? Especially the ones we're talking about here. So I'm going to try to be very careful about this. And just realize, we'll talk about this in a moment, there's a whole lot of pictures I'm not showing you. And this is the stuff that I feel like I can just barely show you. But I don't want you to be naive. I don't want you going there to find out for yourself what's going on there. I'd rather me show you that than you try to do it on your own. And the applicability. This applies. This is a very applicable lesson. There's a lot of temptation out there for you as a young person to get involved in these kind of things. Everybody's doing it. I remember when I was your age, you know, I was the weird duck on the block because I wouldn't go to dances, you know. And so I know that this is something that you're tempted to do and you wrestle with. And I hope this lesson will help you understand what God says about it. Now, what is the problem with school dances? The first of all is the way people are dressed. Now, here's your typical type of apparel at school dances. And, you know, it's just not, you don't need to look at that very long, much less see it all night long in a dance. Another problem you have with dances is the way people move their bodies. There's basically three kinds of dancing we'll talk about. Sometimes they talk about the fast dancing, where there's no bodily conduct. What's wrong with that? Well, you just look at the way these young ladies are moving their bodies and doing these kind of things, quickly scrolling through these things. I mean, can you look at that stuff very long? I quickly go through it. I just want you to get a sense of what goes on in these places. Here's the question. How long can a boy look at a girl move her body in that way before it prompts an inappropriate sexual response? How long? Not very long. That's why I feel bad even showing those pictures at all. Because I can't look at that very long before I start thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about. And so I don't think I'm a weirdo. I don't think so at all. If she's not properly clothed, does it make it easier or harder for him to keep his mind pure? The answer to that is obvious. And I'm not saying that this is a one-way street. It goes both ways. I do think that men are more visual. Young ladies, if you don't understand this about men, you need to. Men, I think, are more visual. They're more affected by what they see than girls are, but that's not to say that girls aren't affected by what they see. I'll never forget one time I was doing something like this down in Houston. We were talking about modest apparel. And I just asked the class, I said, young ladies, do the way men dress or not dress, does it affect you? And one, you know, there was just this stony silence. And finally, one of the young women said, I'll be honest with you. You know, when I see a guy who's got a really good body and he's not wearing a shirt or he's wearing like a wife beater t-shirt kind of thing, she said, it makes me look twice and not in a righteous way. So this is a two-way street. Young ladies, you don't need to be looking at this kind of stuff any more than young men do. What men see affects them. And what, it's just, you see this in Mark 6:21. It says, an opportunity day came when Herod gave the feast for his nobles, the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. Does dancing affect men? Yes. Does it affect women? Yes. Don't be naive about this behavior. What we see affects us so much that, frankly, if you're going to be righteous about it, you've got to do what Job did. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Basically, you've got to make an agreement with your eyes. All right, eyes. Okay. Here's what we're going to do and where we're not going to do. And we're not going to look at women in such a way that those kind of looks are going to create desires in us we've got no business fulfilling with them. Okay? And so, does dancing affect us? Yes. I mean, can you go to a place and be in the presence of girls or guys who are dressed that way, behaving that way, and come away unspotted from sin? I don't think you can. So that's one form of dancing. And another thing that you might say is that, you know, well, what if I go there and my date are dressed properly? The problem with that is that you're in a crowded dance floor. Maybe you're dressed properly, maybe your date is, but what about the people all around you? I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. That's what the scripture says. And when you go to a dance, typically people are going to be dressed like this. This is not atypical at all. People are going to be dressed like this, and basically, are you setting things before your eyes that you don't need to be looking at? So you got the dancing where you know, there's no bodily contact, but you're dancing in the presence of other members of the opposite sex, but you're not touching each other. Provocative. What about slow dancing? Now here's your typical pictures of slow dancers. Now, notice in these pictures how dark it is. We'll explain why that is in a minute. But here's your typical slow dances. I mean, look how close these people are to each other. And you know, look at this couple. Look at their face. It's like they're sweaty and they're dreamily, you know. Why are they behaving that way? I'll tell you why they're behaving that way. Because the moment before that picture went off, that's the way it was in that dance floor. When you go into these places, they're not well lit, well illumined. The lights are way down. And that's why with all those slow dancing pictures, they needed a flash. Because you're sitting there holding a member of the opposite sex that closely in the dark. Now the question is real simple. How long must a boy and a girl press their bodies together before doing so prompts an inappropriate sexual response in either or both? We're made a certain way, and you just can't do that long at all before you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Proverbs 16:27 asks, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Young folks, you can't go to those dances and do that and not be tainted by sin. You just can't do it. And I think after this lesson, when you see this, there's just no place to argue it at all. Like I said, when I was explaining this lesson, I used to just teach this lesson without pictures. And then I usually would have mamas come up and argue with me. Oh, they're not that bad. Oh, they're not that bad. Oh, they're not. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. And that's really why I wanted to do this lesson. Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Am I being unreasonable? No, I'm not. This is typical. Louis Guyon used to own what they call the Paradise Ballroom, which was one of Chicago's largest dance halls. And he once said the following. This is from a guy that's not a Christian. As we know that sex is the strongest impulse planted in the human race, you can just picture the effect on a boy or girl of 18 or 20 when his hunger is keenest, when his knowledge and experience are lacking in the formation of judgment. One of these dances which calls for close bodily contact and frequently bringing the cheeks together and entwining of the limbs. Yet we find thousands of boys and girls dancing in this way who do not realize they are doing anything out of the way and whose fool parents look on complacently. When you are told that youth of both sexes can survive this experience without mental, moral, and physical pollution, you know the teller lies. If you can believe youth is the same after this experience as before, then God help your child or your charge, for you're not mentally fit for your responsibility. If you do not believe I have correctly described the modern dances and their effect, you either have not seen them performed or you are willfully blind to their true character. And that's a quotation that's probably several decades old, but it's as true now as it ever was. Now, a lot of contact goes on that shouldn't be going. Look where this guy's hands are. Look where that girl's hands are. This is a form of dance. This is not, they weren't just putting on for a camera. This was what they were doing right before the flash went off. All right, now I'm going to very quickly go around this. Notice the way these two here are dancing. This is the most popular new thing. It's called grinding. I'll go through it very, very quickly. Notice all this. This is not untypical at all. Okay, let me go back. The latest thing, it was really interesting. I researched this on two different occasions. The first time I did it, I hardly saw any of this grinding stuff. The second I saw it was everywhere. And if you doubt myself, if you doubt me about this, just go on the internet and search grinding. Schools are having a huge problem with it. You know, back in my day, it was either fast dancing without bodily contact, or it was slow dancing. Now you have this grinding where you saw what that is. And here was a little article that I thought was illustrative of the problem. It says, when the waltz was first performed at the Royal British Ball in 1860, the Times of London wrote, so long as this obscene display was confined to prostitutes and adulteresses, we did not think it deserving of notice. But now that it is attempted to be forced on the respectable class of society, we feel it a duty to warn every parent against exposing his daughter to so fatal a contagion. She said, similar generational clashes over the tango, the twist, and Elvis Presley's gyrating hips followed. The theme was celebrated in the 1984 movie Footloose. So basically, every generation, you know, the kids do something beyond what the parents did, and there's this cultural battle, generational battle. Freaking, which is this idea of grinding, freak dancing or grinding, has gained widespread acceptance in recent years, propelled by the mainstreaming of rap music and the sultry images in hip-hop videos. Critics say it is unquestionably carnal positions, girls bent at the waist, boys thrusting behind her, go far beyond the previous generation's bumping and grinding. Every generation finds its successor dancers to be impropriety, said Judith Lynn Hanna, University of Maryland senior school scholar and author of a book on dance and sexuality. She's asked, what is the difference between frontal body rubbing and one person rubbing on the backside against the front side, she asked. You know what the answer to that is? There's no difference. The classic slow dancing is just as bad as this new stuff. It's just they're taking it farther and farther and farther into lasciviousness, licentiousness. She said, it's all sexy. Dancing is sexy, but so what? It's not sex, it's flirtation. Come on. It's flirtation with sin is what it is. It is sin. It's uncleanness. Remember, in these lists, you'll have uncleanness, and usually what you'll have is licentiousness, uncleanness, fornication, and adultery. And uncleanness is all that touching and stuff that we do that stops short of fornication, but is just as wrong. And it says there, whatever it is, educators from New Hampshire to Washington State are growing increasingly agitated. This is the kind of dancing that's now going on. And it's getting so bad that schools are having to really combat it. Now, as if the forms of dancing aren't enough, you got to consider these things that go on when you go to these dances. First of all, the lighting is low, like we've talked about. The music is loud and very suggestive. You've got this beat, this pounding beat, that's so loud you can't hardly talk to each other, and the words are often ungodly as can be. There's a lot of peer pressure there. You might go there, sit there, I'm going to go and I'm not going to dance. Yeah, how long are you going to hold out? And if you're going to only, you know, if you're only going to dance, you know, modestly as you would call it, maybe you would hold each other at arm's length and there's no contact between each other. You know, you're going to stand out like a weird duck in the crowd, and your friends are going to be sitting there, oh, come on, lighten up, go along with everybody else. A lot of peer pressure. And you're doing this in a crowd of people where, you know, everybody's doing this kind of stuff. And there's adult complicity to this too. Now, you might ask yourself, well, these are chaperoned dances, aren't they? Let me show you this. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll talk about chaperoning in just a moment. Before I get to that, let me make a point. Now, all the pictures you've just seen have been from high school, senior high school dances. Now, all the following pictures will be from junior high school dances. And I think this place right here is around here somewhere, isn't it? Is Valley View, Arkansas, isn't that around here somewhere? Okay, this picture is from a 2006 junior high dance at Valley View, Arkansas. Okay? Notice the way these sweet little girls are dressed. It's horrible. All right? And notice the way these girls, these are junior high school dances. Notice the way they're moving their bodies. You got the slow dancing. Just like all this stuff that goes on in senior high dances, it's what goes on in junior high. I've heard parents talk about how, oh, junior high dances, they're not as bad. They're the same thing. See the light? This is a junior high dance. This is a junior high dance. And notice where the hands are that shouldn't be. And notice the freak dancing or the grinding that goes on. These are junior high. This is, again, from Valley View, Arkansas. Okay, look at these. This, you know, face is almost like, uh-oh, got caught there. You see it here. That's Valley View, Arkansas, 2006. Same thing here. So what are the conclusions? First of all, I'm not saying that all high school dances are exactly the way I pictured them. But I do think the picture I've drawn fairly represents the overwhelming majority of school dances, okay? I'm not sitting there saying there aren't different dances than the way I've shown them, but this is typically what you get. Pictures are worth thousands of words. I won't insult your intelligence and waste our time trying to convince you that what you've just seen is wrong. It's wrong, and everyone here knows it. This is illustrative. The first time I looked at these websites to prepare this lesson, my then 11-year-old son Caleb told me, and I guess that tells you how long ago it's been because he's 20 now. But my 11-year-old Caleb's son came up to me. He's looking over my shoulder. He says, "Dad, this is pornography." And I thought, out of the mouth of babes. Now, here's why I wanted to talk about chaperone. Every one of these dances was chaperoned. Let me show you how effective that is. All right, notice this. Here's a dance. Notice that post right there, that pillar right there that's wrapped in the colored paper. Notice that. See where it's at. All right, now, here it is again. What are these people over here? Those are your chaperones. What in the world are they going to do to keep people in the middle of that crowd from doing things they ought not be doing? This idea of chaperoning is just manifestly ridiculous. Here was a young person was interviewed. The question was asked, what percentage of dance attendees would take part in freak dancing? This young lady said, it depends on the frequency in question. 9 out of 10 teenagers have participated in freaking at one time or another. About 3 out of 10 do it on a frequent basis. What do dance chaperones do or say to prevent freak dancing? Here's the answer. They turn their heads unless they try to assault people with that flashlight. Some security guards try to step in between the couples, but how can 2 security guards watch over 800 students? If you allow your kids to go into this, you're putting them in the devil's den, and nobody's trying to keep them from doing what they ought not doing, overwhelmingly. Like I said at the beginning, these are the ones that I felt, I mean, I'm not even comfortable showing you these pictures. But again, I don't want our young people to have to go there to see what's going on. I want their eyes to be open to the reality. I'm trying to be circumspect in this. I'm not trying to create the very things I'm saying that they should not go there to see. If this is what people were willing to post on websites, there's no telling what else goes on at typical high school dances. If you feel guilty just looking at a part of what goes on at a typical high school dance, how can you go to them or let your children go to them, much less participate in them? And I believe parents need this lesson just as much as their children. Now, one final question, and I'll open it up for questions. Sometimes people say, well, can I go if I don't dance? If you attend a dance like that, aren't you sanctioning the very purpose for the gathering, which is dancing in that particular manner? Aren't you? If you attend, won't people assume you're going to dance in that way? If we try to let people, if you go to a dance like that and you spend all your time saying, "Now I don't do what they're doing out there," the question would be, "Well, then why are you here?" If you attend, don't you influence others to do the same? People who might not be able to resist temptation. Let's say you go to the dance and you don't do some of those things, but your presence there might encourage somebody else to go that's not going to have the same amount of self-control. You're being a stumbling block. Here's a good one. If you attend and you don't dance, how long is it going to be before you start? There is incredible peer pressure. You might go there and just sit on the sideline, but you know what? You may do that the first time or the second time or the third time, but the fourth or fifth time, you're going to start seriously thinking about getting there, getting out on the dance floor and doing these things yourself. If you attend a place like that, can you sincerely pray, "Do not lead us, God, into temptation"? Can you honestly say you're fleeing temptation if you put yourself in that kind of an environment? And like it or not, if you attend a dance like that, you're going to damage your influence for good. I mean, here's the reality. If I hear that y'all go to dance like that, I'm going to think less of you. I'm going to think you're spiritually weaker. You know, Your ability to influence me for good will be diminished if I realize you go to those kind of places. Now, you might say I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Well, maybe I am, but you know what? Old fuddy-duddies need to be taken into account too. Do you really want to do anything that minimizes your ability to influence anybody, young people, middle-aged, old fuddy-duddies, or whatever? No. You want to let your light shine so bright that people will see you and glorify their Father which is in heaven. Okay? And so the reality is there's a whole lot of people that don't think that's appropriate. And if you go to those kind of places, your ability to influence for good will be diminished with those kind of people. And I tell you what, it's the best kind of people that your ability to influence is going to be minimized with, in my opinion. And so there's the lesson. I've preached this at gospel meetings. I just think it's vitally important for us to, every generation of preacher, I think, deals with this particular problem. And now we have a way where we can vividly see what goes on. And I just think that, what Guy said 100 years ago is as absolutely as true today as it was then. Don't do this kind of stuff. It's just not appropriate.